Good morning, Big Rapids. This is Big Rapids Buzz with Chris Long and
Bruce Borkovich. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. How you doing? Today's the eclipse.
It is.
Are you going to go watch it, or are you just going to?
My whole life is an eclipse, and so I'm probably not going to. I'll probably make sure my grandkids don't go outside and hurt their eyes. But the whole world is eclipsing me. The whole world went right past me, Chris.
All the moon worshippers are probably doing some sort of celebration today, so stay indoors, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Guess who we woke up this morning, Chris?
Who?
I went over to his house, banged on his door, and we got Carmen Bean
to
show up this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
And Carmen's no stranger to this radio station, and I'm not going to have him go over his introduction too deep because
everybody knows him.
Carmen is absolutely.
I hope so.
And just to refresh you though, Carmen is currently the Big Rapids Township Supervisor. He has served in one way or another in local government for about how long?
Goodness. I think I'm in about my 14th year now in various capacities from planning commissions and trustee.
Yeah. And what's interesting is Carmen's very social, but deep down inside, he's more of an introvert than an extrovert. And if you ask Carmen, do you want to be an elected official, a politician, he'll scrunch up his face and say, heck no. He does it
out of service. Let me test. Do you want to be a politician?
Heck no.
Yeah. See,
he didn't scrunch his face, though.
He didn't, but that's because it hurts at our age.
Oh, now he is.
It hurts. He, in all joking aside, he does it to serve his community because he's not a limelight guy. He's not making a small fortune here as township supervisor. So, Carmen was the one who was elected in the recall election that we had, and currently is the Big Rapids Township Supervisor. I've learned a ton from him as his deputy township supervisor, and go to all the meetings and work with him when I can. But Carmen, you're changing paths.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about that. What's the one thing you haven't done locally in government?
I haven't served as a county commissioner locally, and my intention is to throw my hat into the ring in the August primary on the Republican ticket for District 7 county commissioner.
Wait. You're telling me that we set up the whole recall thing, get you in, and now you're going to go run for the commissioners?
Yes. It shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, I committed to take the office through the end of the term.
Yeah.
I do not have, I have no aspirations whatsoever to be a lifelong politician.
Okay.
And, the community needed something different. We needed change.
So who's going to run for township supervisor?
I'm it's not up to me to say that. I don't know. I'm sure somebody will file. Don't you think?
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
That's the rumor. Carmen, who will you be running against that you know of that's already?
I would be running against Commissioner Bill Routley.
Yeah, he's the incumbent?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Okay. And
how long has Routley been in?
I believe he's in his, they have been 2-year terms up to this year. They're moving to 4-year terms. I believe he's in his 11th term.
Okay.
I think he's coming up on 22 years.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
I could be a term off there, but
that's
I believe that's
long.
What it is.
Far too long, folks. Far too long.
You know, in almost any profession, Chris, that's a long time. And, one of the things, we're going to talk about, Carmen, I've coined this, and either one of you can take this and make a fortune, but I've coined it what I call political amnesia. And one thing, as I'm getting more and more exposed to some of the local politics through the Goshen fight, I've observed this political amnesia, and it's when not every politician, but many, many politicians who are in office for a while, they forget why they're in office. In other words, they forget to represent the people. It's almost like, okay, I got you. I got your support. You must like me. You voted me in. And they seem to turn into administrators as opposed to representatives of the people. Like okay, now my job is decide what's good for you. There's nothing.
They think they know what's best for them.
It's nothing scarier to me in this country, Chris, is when someone else thinks they know what I want or what I need.
There's a county commissioner that actually pretty much said that to us already.
We're going to talk about that, Chris. Gloves are off a little bit.
Good, and good. Finally,
only
gloves
because
are off.
We love our community, and so we're going to talk about that.
Great. But
we
I'm
get
excited.
To the point where the elected officials, they start to impose their will on the citizens.
Yes.
They act on how they feel, not how the community feels. Or what the community requests or what their real needs are.
Or when they say that they've talked to these people, they've talked to their little handful group
several.
Of people. Yeah.
We're going to talk about several.
Yeah. How big is several?
Several. You know, in my little mind, it's 2 to 5.
Yeah. That's
2 to 7.
Yes.
Several. we are going to talk about. Have you noticed that, Bill Carman? You're an old fellow like me, that many, many elected officials from Washington down to the township level fall into that political amnesia. They forget what their job is.
They forget that they are citizens.
Yes,
they basically they process paperwork, they process bills. There's not a lot of discussion on anything at the board meetings. We've seen that.
Yeah,
and we saw it, you know, at the township level, and we saw it and continue to see it at the county level.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This one gets Carmen.
Well,
so,
hold on.
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Do you think that the commissioners are actually making any decisions, or is it that one individual who's now going to retire and put his minion in?
You're putting me on the spot on that one.
It seems like that there's a guy behind the curtains and he's retiring.
I believe that the commission isn't stepping up to what they should be doing.
Yes, agreed.
And that's how I'll answer that.
I agree with
that. I'm
not
trying to cop out. But
no, that's a good answer.
I just don't want to take shots at folks.
Yep.
Personally, I don't want to do that.
Yep. Well, that was a politically correct answer then.
That was a wise answer. Look forward on how to fix it.
Well, I have my faults, you know, and I don't like...
I get it.
Not many of them, but I do have
well,
some.
I talked to your wife.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so maybe you should retract that. Carmen, you know, a part of what we're seeing here in the Goshen issue is what we would coin corporate welfare.
Yes.
And I know every time I say those two words to you, your blood pressure shoots up a little bit. Tell us what your opinion is on what you think about corporate welfare.
I'm very much opposed to corporate welfare. It's the government picking the winner and picking the losers. And the government should not have and is not supposed to have by our Constitution the power to do that.
Yeah.
We have a capitalistic society. It's free enterprise. And in my opinion, if you can't afford the price of the ticket to get in the game, you should not get in the game.
Yeah.
It's that simple to me.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked in the automotive industry. I'm now in my 48th year, 45 years with one company, and now I'm out doing some contract work for a number of manufacturers in the Midwest. And they struggle to make it. There's not a lot of profit in it. They sacrifice. There are folks in leadership positions which will actually work without a salary to make sure that their employees can get paid. Mm-hmm. That
they call those leaders.
Yeah, they call those leaders. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just opposed to it, and especially if it's a foreign entity. And when you're talking... you know, we talk about $550 million or whatever it is, but, you know, the true number in this project is $1.1 billion.
It's much more than that with the abatements.
Yeah, with the 30 years, which is also outrageous. 30 years, it's
unbelievable.
This industry, this sector.
30 years is not even in the law for what it's allowed
I think maximum it's 25.
20, 20, yes.
Yeah, I think
that's
20.
Correct.
And then you can go through a process to extend it to 25.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just... it's disheartening. You know, we have a lot of local manufacturers in town and small businesses who have struggled through the hard times. We're just coming out of COVID. A lot of companies and businesses haven't recovered fully from that
yet. Absolutely.
you know, I worry about, not worry about, I'm very concerned about the fact that, you know, in the United States, we have roughly 1.2 million in automotive workforce. Half of those are basically auto parts, auto engines. We're going to eliminate some of that.
Yeah.
And this is not a proven technology.
All because of some green energy bull crap.
Yes.
If global warming and all this stuff was true, then why would the banks be allowing millionaires to put mansions on the coast if the sea level's going to rise? They would not get their money back because no one would insure it. It's just insane. It's just ridiculous. Okay. If you check, go back 100 years, check the sea level. At the Statue of Liberty, it's at the same height, okay? And if you read those newspapers, they said the same thing back then that they're saying now. I even went back another 20 years and went to 1990 and was looking through the archives at Ferris. And again, same stuff they're saying then, they're saying now. Ooh, we're all gonna disappear. The world's gonna end. Everything's gonna.
We've gone through this acid rain. I'm missing a few. I'm drawing a little blank.
You know, I mean, where'd that go? As a late teen and young adult, we were talking about the next ice age.
Absolutely.
And then it went to global warming.
Yep. Acid rain. There's a couple others in there.
And the data doesn't support global warming or acid rain.
Yep.
Or an ice age, so now it's just climate change.
Yeah.
And climate has changed since the
dawn of time.
And it will continue.
For eons, forever, and it will continue to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my goodness, we find tropical fossils in Antarctica.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, correct. You know, a lot of what's going to impact this election, and people are, you know, probably getting sick of it, but it is the Goshen topic.
I believe it's going to
impact this election. And we've really been focusing lately, Chris, with the security concerns, because I'll be honest with you, when I got in the fight, I did have some back pocket security concerns, but my bigger concerns at the time were the environmental concerns, the what we call point source pollution. If we have time, I'll explain that a little later, and the environmental impact. But now, as our top security experts have really opened our eyes, those of us who will listen to the concerns to our cybersecurity, right in your world, Chris, you know 100 times more than we do about this and the theft of our intellectual property, that kind of is overshadowed. But Carmen, you know, do you have do you share my potential environmental concerns? Because my farm's only 2 miles away from where this is going to be, where you live, maybe three.
No, yeah, maybe I'm
maybe two.
2 miles,
yeah,
directly. I mean, I'm just north of 16 miles.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you're actually parallel with me, pretty much.
Yep, so pretty much.
Do you have environmental concerns?
Oh, definitely, I have environmental concerns. You know, we're in the Muskegon River watershed. And, you know, my concerns aren't simply potential concerns. This industry is already doing irreparable damage to our environment.
Talk about that, because you're something of an expert. You've spent 40-some years in the automotive industry.
Yes.
Talk about
that. You know, the mining of the cobalt, you know, you have environmental concerns there as it relates to the actual mining, as it relates to its transport. There's a potential for a disaster every time it changes from ship to truck to train.
I hear somebody yelling right now, way off in the distance, saying, "There is no cobalt, there is no cobalt," because you mentioned cobalt, and that person way down south of here is screaming. I am hearing out the window, they're screaming right now.
Okay, well, let's talk about the lithium then. Okay. The lithium, I mean, the process to mine, if you want to call it that, lithium, is called leaching. Let's think about that. A lithium mine, once abandoned, the land's not usable. I mean, it's sucked everything to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's leached off through evaporation, and what's left is uninhabitable.
Yeah.
You're not going to grow anything.
It's like a moonscape.
I can't imagine what the cost of abatement or remediation would be for a lithium mine.
Right.
I can't comprehend that kind of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we have the environmental, we have human rights. As much as 20% of the, if they happen to use it, cobalt, and is from the black market, so to speak. It's from little kids and their mothers labor,
yeah.
and fathers.
Yeah, they already said that they're going to get the stuff from China to start, and then they're going to get it from their places down in South America.
Yes.
And then eventually they're going to want to get it from right down the road when they can figure out when that company in California, the other company, found the way to extract lithium from potash. Yes. And, oh, what's right down the road 10 miles away? Oh, big potash.
Yeah, you know, the Congolese are, you know, they're devastated, some families, by this, by what they're doing to them.
Yeah.
You know, and we can't comprehend that with the lifestyles we live and how good we truly have it.
Yeah.
You know, I know times are tough, but go to a third world country if you want to see tough times.
Put things in perspective, no doubt. You know, I am not nearly smart enough to say or anticipate, okay, this is what they're going to make, and here are the processes. I'm at the bottom of the heap, but what I do understand, as you know, a former state official in environmental protection, when I was a conservation officer, the concept of point source pollution, and I tried to bring this up with some of my, I guess I call them opponents. I don't hate them. I don't dislike them.
Let's just call them adversaries.
Adversaries on the issue. And they kind of look at me funny and dismiss me. But point source pollution, the table we're sitting at right now, if this was outside, and if I were out there smoothing stones and whittling wood and using some soap to clean up, there would be some chemicals that are here that eventually would wash off here. I'd wash them off, rain would wash them off, and they would go somewhere. Now, you imagine a several million square foot facility with all of the storage buildings, parking lots, infrastructure, et cetera, de-icing salts in a winter and treatments and everything. People who are in there are eating and they're going potty and poo-poo. Can I say that, Chris? Can I say potty and poo-poo?
Well, we can always be safe and just...
Well, that's George a great Carlin, idea.
We George can just
Carlin
do that.
Doo-doo, caca, poo-poo.
Doo-doo, caca, poo-poo.
Yes.
Thank you, Chris, for getting me. But no, seriously, things are happening there. People are living, they're eating, they're creating waste. There's exhausts. That place has got to be heated. It's got to be cooled. Every time it rains or snows, there's runoff from those massive buildings and massive parking lots. And no one who is sane or has any level of intelligence can say there is no point source pollution. There's a substantial point source
they did
pollution.
Say that. They did say that. I believe it was last week.
But remember, my qualifier is no one with any brains or common sense. Because you can't. I have point source pollution from this house, right? I have chickens, and they go doo-doo. Can I say doo-doo, Chris? Yeah, you better get me a... I have chicken doo-doo all over my driveway, and every day I hose that out. There are phosphates and nitrates, all kinds of stuff in there that will leach down into the ground. So every place has point source pollution that may be harmful, may not be. And
The folks with the doo-doo brains
doo-doo
don't
brains.
Understand.
Then now you can say doo-doo without bleeping it,
yeah.
I think. Oh,
well, we'll find out.
Yes,
Jen's
we will.
Gonna be complaining, I think.
Yes, we will. Carmen, I did a little homework, and I came up with the mission of the Mecosta County Board of Commissioners. Quote, to perform their legally constituted county government responsibilities, which are to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the residents of our community. Now, at higher levels, federal and state level, that's considered police powers because that incorporates the ability to regulate people's behavior for the good and safety of all. But at our lower levels, that is still considered the police powers of the township or the county and the primary responsibility of these local units of government. There's lots of, we know a township's responsibility is, collect taxes, assessment, and conduct elections. Boom, I got all three of them. Are you proud of me?
Yes, I am.
I'm your protege here. I'm you're mentoring me.
Taught me.
Yeah. But primarily, even at the township level, at the county level, just this from their mission statement, their primary job is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the residents of our community. What's your reaction to that, Carmen? Does that surprise you that that's the mission statement?
No, it doesn't surprise me that that's the mission statement, but I think we may need to have a little retraining with the commissioners.
I think so.
I think they've forgotten that.
I think there's two things they've forgotten.
Or just remove them all and replace them. That's easy.
You ever notice how Chris takes these little tiny subtle baby steps from one topic to another? Yeah. They're so subtle.
Yes.
They're just, they're barely there. Yeah. You really have to dig in deeper. What's he saying? He's holding back too much.
It's like that little guy that was on Jabba the Hutt's shoulder in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. You even laugh like that little guy. I think there's two recalibrations. There's two things that need to happen. Number one, and it's interesting because both of these are supposed to be the overriding a promise, the guidance that we develop and we're given to governing, and one is the mission statement, and the other one is the master plan. And I've read the county master plan. I imagine you have too.
Well, I actually did read that too.
You have or have?
And I have.
And
it says that light industrial.
Yes.
It's for light industrial in that area.
Yes.
And I had to correct a certain somebody because a certain somebody did a little search and find, got what they wanted, and then ran with that.
Yeah.
And I said, you didn't read a little bit further. You only found what you wanted to find and nothing else. Yeah. And the reality is she wasn't even looking in the correct area of the document. She didn't look in the Green Township portion of the document that says specifically that area that was bought is for light industrial.
Yeah.
Light industrial.
Yeah. And prior to that, their mission, their goal, their mandate is to preserve the recreational and agricultural nature of this county.
That is in the master plan.
This project is not consistent with the spirit of the county's master plan.
It isn't.
I mean, in that same paragraph where they talk about light industrial, they state that further industrial development is strongly discouraged.
Yes, it does say that too.
It is. And yet, these are the two defining documents, this mission statement and the master plan. Why? Because we can't trust individual people.
Correct.
So collectively, people got, you know, when you create a master plan, there's so much public input. That's a big project.
Yes.
And you really are going out and saying to the people, what is important in our home here? What is important to you? And you tell us, and we'll make it happen. And they did. And to me, the two most important mandates, protecting the health, safety, and welfare, and following the master plan are the two things that are at the bottom of the list.
In the master plan also, when you do that, when you know you're required to redo it every 5 years by law, you have to provide what it is you're doing to the adjacent entities.
Yes.
So Mecosta County would have to do it to all of its, any county whose boundary touches there. The township has to do it to any township city that touches them. You have to allow them to have input.
That's right.
You know, by Hoyle, by law, if the county were to, were to continue with this, they should have to revise their master plan.
It should be drastically different.
Yeah, yes, it should be drastically different than how it's written currently.
It really should. And as you said, if a township makes a master plan, you can't just put your blinders on and just, you are required by law to go around to your surrounding community and surrounding local areas of government, city, other townships, the county,
and get input.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's to me, the master plan is the Constitution
and
it prohibits tyranny. It prohibits individual violations. It prohibits political amnesia because let's circle back. Here's our master plan. Here's our Constitution. I'm not disrespecting the Constitution, but that's really what it is at the county level. This is what guides us. This is what we adhere to.
There is a little footnote at the end of it that says if we ever get to the fifth poorest county in the state, then this entire master plan goes out and we can bring in the CCP.
Chris, I missed that. I am going to go back and find something here, Chris.
What do you want?
Some sound effect, because I miss that. Maybe,
there's a lot of hyperbole talking about the depressed nature of our county. The truth of the matter is that the cost of living in our county is only 79% of what it is in the nation, and it's only 87% of what it is in the rest of the state. So we can live on less income than the rest of the state.
Everyone has been living here just fine for many years, and we're only seeing an increase of homeless people because they're being brought in. That we already confirmed that, what, a couple episodes?
We did.
By
we
the sheriff.
We had two different episodes. We had our experts from Grand Rapids, and then the sheriff brought that locally. To here. And, you know, if you know Brian Miller, that is not a cold-hearted human being.
No, it's not.
Brian is very compassionate. He has a huge heart. Yep. He loves people.
Yep.
So this, we got straight talk from Brian on what's going on around here. Yep. And
you also got that same straight talk from the homeless gentleman that was on Curry's Corner.
You did.
Oh, I guess I missed that episode.
He came on Curry's Corner and talked about it, talked about how many people were here, why they came, why they stayed.
What they're not interested
what they're
in
not
doing.
Interested in doing, yes.
Yeah, we found out from talking to the Grand Rapids folks that this is not all, but many homeless are not interested in a home. They are not interested in employment. The things that we assume, okay, if we can get them a home and get them a job, everything's going to fall into place, when in fact many, many of them are not interested in a home and are not interested in working.
Yeah, the young man that came on the radio show that day, and I'm paraphrasing here, said that over half of these people just want to be left alone.
They do.
They just want to be left alone.
And then why are they begging if they want to be left alone?
Because they can.
I can't
answer
that.
Go out in the woods.
Yes.
Well, because
become forest creatures.
Yeah, because again, the Grand Rapids folks talked about the social circles,
mm-hmm.
and many times it's very important to maintain their status, their social status. They have friends, other friends that are, you know, homeless, and they don't want that interrupted. They don't want to go to work. They don't want to. I think, was it Pat or something nailed down with the gentleman you're talking about? He's talking about his disability.
Yes.
Pat, I think, said something. Okay, what if we could find you a really good job where all you had to do was set, hardly move, you know, and he wasn't interested.
The guy on the radio did?
I believe so.
Oh, my gosh.
He said it would mess up his SSI.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just,
you
got to
be kidding me.
No, that was the answer.
Chris, there's got to be a sound effect.
I don't think there's one that depressing. That doesn't really fit it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Wrong answer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're making light of it, and we all know each other. But
it makes me so angry.
It does.
That we were paying these people to not work.
Yes.
I don't get it.
It
makes me so freaking angry.
There are a percentage of those individuals in our country, in our state, in our city, in our county. They really need help.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a mental health issue that needs to be dealt with.
No question.
And it needs to be dealt with at the national level and the state level.
It does.
The local communities can't afford it.
Listen, I have a heart, too. I worked on a drug team for 7 years between severe addictions and mental health issues. I'm compassionate. And there are some of those people who are not capable because of their addictions or their mental health problems or a combination. Many times it's a combination. They aren't capable of maintaining a residence or holding a job, but some are.
What did we do before 1932 when Franklin Roosevelt, or whenever he did it in the 30s, when he created the social welfare system? What did people do when they decided they weren't going to work and they're just going to sit around? They weren't getting paid by the government, so what did they do?
My guess is they didn't decide just to sit around. I think mentally infirm, disabled people were find a way to contribute on the farm if it's sitting on the porch and shucking peas.
So it was like societal Darwinism. It weeded itself out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Probably. And you know what? We need to weed out. We need to weed out a break right now. We need to identify this station. That was a terrible transition. Jen said, a transition. Weed out a break?
That
was
one of my.
Give me a sound effect, Chris, for that.
I need to get some better ones.
That's terrible.
These are terrible.
Well, that's what I deserve.
Can you say weed?
Yeah, no. Oh, I just said weed, a W word. And you know me and weed, I am not a fan.
I don't think that's illegal on the radio.
We are. We're talking to Carmen Dean.
Oh, okay.
Carmen has been a longtime resident. He's a husband, a father, a grandfather, longtime employee of Federal Screw, longtime public servant, who doesn't want to be a public servant. That's my favorite kind. He has no ego or monetary goals. He does it because he loves his community. We're talking to him about his run, his transition from township supervisor to county commissioner. But first, and we're going to continue that, but first we have to talk about our station. You are listening to WBZX Big Rapids on B1039. You are listening to WBZX Big Rapids on B1039. This is Bruce Borkovich and
Chris Long.
Nice job, Chris. Very smooth. That was excellent. And Chris, who's here with us?
I think his name's Carmen Bean, I think.
Carmen Bean. Everyone knows Carmen. You know, the interesting thing, this whole fight against Goshen has been a lot of hassle, a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of anger, a lot of things. But you know what the upside is? I have met some wonderful people and new friends, and I consider you one of them. And
thank you. You as well.
Yeah.
There's a poem that educators used to use, and it's this long poem, but at the end it says, they ask me why I teach, and I say, where else could I find such splendid company? Well, I had modified that the other day and said, they ask me why I fight in this fight, and where else could I find such splendid company? And it's really interesting. A group of us got together the other night, and good Americans and patriots. I'm just proud to call you guys friends. So
thank you.
That's the upside.
I am as well. You know, what's unfortunate about what's happening currently is it's bringing out the best in humanity and the worst in humanity.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful for Goshen coming because if it wasn't for Goshen coming in, I wouldn't have met you guys. I wouldn't have met the other 1,000 other people that I've met.
Yeah.
And it's been educational because we found out who some people really are.
Exactly. The true colors came out.
And you know who I blame the most for this lackadaisical non-representative government in this county? I see him in the mirror every morning. I blame me and those like me who are sound asleep.
Yeah, we were all sound asleep.
You know, we've got one vote at the national level. It's easy to feel like you don't matter.
That's the one everyone goes out for.
Yeah, you matter at the local level with townships and counties, city commissions.
They put too much trust in names that they recognize.
They do. And we're so busy. We're eating and drinking and working and taking care of kids and hunting and fishing and recreating and going on vacations. And we let all of this important stuff happen. And then suddenly someone is trying to put a CCP-affiliated battery plant 2 miles from your farm. Wake up, Bruce.
We frequently forget that all those things you just mentioned that are so much fun in life, the only reason we can do them is because we have that freedom from government, and we need to exercise that. We need to be the security guards, if you will. We need to look at it, and we need to exercise our right for oversight of the government.
Yes. We do.
And if we don't like it, we have to do something to change it. And I was just as complacent for a lot of years. You know, you're chasing a career, you're being a parent, a grandparent, you're trying to carve out a life.
Yes.
Which people is all any of us can do is carve out a life.
That's it.
And you forget about it. You don't pay attention to it. And something like this comes along, and you can see what that imposition of government's will do to a community.
Absolutely. And people need to start going to those meetings.
And again, it is irreparable. You can't fix it. Change is not a bad thing, but we have to remember that there's a permanence to change.
Yeah.
So is that what we want forever? Because once something's here, it's here. Mm-hmm.
It is. And, you know, I had a speaker once at a leadership conference I went to and said, you know, people will say that people are afraid of change. People are afraid of loss.
Yes.
The loss that goes with change. And if you really think about it, it's spot on. Some people are just fine with it. We're not all just automatically afraid of change. Change is inevitable. We are afraid of loss. That's what I'm scared to death with here, folks. Loss. Loss for me and my wife. Loss for my daughter and my son-in-law. Loss for my grandchildren. I know this sounds like melodramatic, my dream and goal someday after I'm long gone is to have my daughter, her husband, and those kids living here. And who knows, this is a well-built house. Maybe one of those girls or boys will live here. I mean, that I know that's sappy and melodramatic, but that's my dream. That's where I'm at.
You mentioned about it being here forever. Once it's gone, it's that land is gone. It's going to be there forever as whatever they're going to build. It's ironic because certain people are from Lapeer, as I am, and they failed to remember what happened with Duracon. There was a company that moved in, bought a lot of land right along a creek on Mayfield Township.
Very rural.
Very rural. Especially in Mayfield Township, kind of like Green Township.
Yeah.
They built this huge, where they used to make bedliners. It was booming. They were the large employer of the area, blah, 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 blah. Then 2008 happened. Bam, they closed the doors. And guess what? That building is still vacant. Now, what? What is that? 10 years, 15 years almost?
Yeah, I've been gone from that area.
12 years? So. 12 years later? 13? I don't know. I can't think right now as far as how many. It's vacant.
Yeah.
It's vacant.
Yeah.
Okay? It's an
eyesore. But it's
changed
forever.
It's changed forever.
That'll never be a bean field.
PFAS is everything. It was all, it's contaminated.
That'll never be a bean field. You know that.
And no one's going to move into that area to build new manufacturing because it's middle of nowhere.
Yes.
They probably had some tax incentives, just like now, to move in and get there. And so no one's going to move in unless they have tax incentives to fill in that if Goshen were to go away, if their building were to go vacant.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's just going to be ruined.
Yeah. Carmen, pet peeve of mine, I think I know your answer, but what do you think about elected officials signing non-disclosure agreements?
It's unconscionable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. It's disgusting. That's,
I have the word repugnant. Yes. You have unconscionable, and they're both right there.
Yeah.
In my naive state, guys, I thought it was illegal. I was flabbergasted. No. There has to be a state law that prohibits an elected official from signing. And I know business, not as well as you, Carmen, but I know many times when business deals are happening, they want non-disclosure agreements. That doesn't mean you have to do it. And I'm just shocked that it's legal.
Yeah, it has to compromise your ability to make a good decision.
Yeah.
It has to, because you've already said, I'm not going to tell you everything.
The trust.
The transparency aspect of public leadership just goes out the door immediately. Boom. Sign it, it's gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and NDAs, there's no place for them at the local government level.
Unless
you think you know what's best for the community, then it doesn't matter.
You said that word, didn't you? Give me a sound effect, Chris. Come on. Yes.
Oh, wait, no, that's not right. There's it's this one. Wrong answer.
Yeah.
No, NDAs, there's just no place for them in government.
Could you see?
That's the correct answer.
That's it. Could you see Carmen being the new, and I truly believe you're going to be successful, the new county commissioner, maybe bringing this up with the commission about a resolution?
Definitely.
That would,
That would be good. Then some future board will just rescind it.
Well, you do what you can do, right?
You do what you can do when you're there. Yeah.
But it's interesting. You won't find many citizens who say, I'm all for elected officials signing NDAs. Almost everyone.
I'm sure
hates
we
it.
Can find somebody.
Well,
or
I think
a few,
I know where we could find a
handful.
A
I think we can count them on our hands.
And not only the NDA, but as an example, the resolution the county passed, which basically said, we're going to support Goshen. We're not going to do anything to get in their way.
Yeah.
They've made a decision now that they can be bound to by law.
Yeah.
That they can't say, we're not going to let you build that there because of this, that, and the other. They're breaking that resolution. Yeah. Once they pass that resolution,
that's there. That's a decision.
You know?
That's a decision.
And now we have a lawsuit up north.
Yep. Carmen, could the county commission have conducted a countywide survey prior to an action like that, prior to the support, prior to entering this fray? Is there anything you know of that would have prohibited that?
I don't think they were prohibited. I just think that they were pressured from the state level to act so quickly from the point in time in which they found out about what was going on. Because I think most of the folks on the board, the actual commissioners, didn't know a lot about what was going on, just like we as township.
Yeah.
They could have voted for the Renaissance Zone because, again, the Renaissance Zone was put in how many years ago? 10, 15, 20 years ago?
That had expired.
And you're right, it expired. And so the people that put it in probably aren't around. around. I don't know what the support was before. I don't know if they just did it behind closed doors like before or what, but other than the sign putting out there, Big Rapids Township Industrial Park. But the point is you could have had a vote for Renzone to see if everybody wants it.
Yeah, and I would have to look at that to see if that's something you could put on a referendum, but I'm sure you could do a survey.
You don't know of anything prohibited.
Yeah, at minimum.
Yeah. If you were interested.
No one has been seen to put a survey out to determine if the people can sell or prevent the sale of the land. Yeah. Not a single. There's a certain somebody that continues to say that nothing could be done because you can't stop the sale of private land. We never once said that we were going to vote on that, but the things that you did afterward. Yeah. That's the thing that he's trying to be deceptive and try to smash the whole argument by trying to say that we're asking you to vote on the sale of private land. No, you can't do it. It's America.
Right.
You can't do that. Right. But there's the other stuff that you did that you could have been done much more appropriately.
Yeah. See, and looking back, I make a lot of mistakes in life. And as it relates to the Renzone,
everybody does.
I wish I would have voted no for the Renzone. But at that point in time, do you want to miss the train?
I understand.
In the business I was in, the train of opportunity doesn't stop at the stop anymore. You have to decide if you're going to jump on or not jump on.
Yeah.
I didn't want to throw the baby out with bathwater because what if it was a good thing?
Absolutely.
Well, nobody knew it was China involved at the time.
Absolutely.
Once I did the research and saw, they talk about VW China. They're not really Chinese. But, people don't realize that VW sells 40% of its vehicles in China. Of all the vehicles they sell 40% anywhere.
40% of their
sales. You can't tell me that the tail wags the dog. Yeah.
And
you can't tell me that.
I cannot stand hearing, it's Volkswagen. They fail to understand there's a difference between Volkswagen, the Volkswagen we know as in Volkswagen Germany, and Volkswagen of China. That's the group that owns it. And guess what? Whenever you want to enter the Chinese market, you must create a partnership with a
joint venture is required.
Exactly. Yep. And so what they do is they name it the same thing, but put of China or LTD this or whatever.
And we also, people talk about it, but let's face it, they own less than 30%. And in essence, they have less than 30% of the shares.
Okay.
They are nothing more than an investor.
Yeah.
And they put a couple of those people on the board as token board members.
Yep.
This company is not run by the Germans.
Right. Correct. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Carmen, a current county commissioner, and we were all at the meeting, the three of us, this isn't rumor, recently stated at the Mecosta County Republican meeting, quote, I might be a word off here, but I'm close. If you haven't been to a county commission meeting, you don't have a right to talk.
Your thoughts? I know. Don't call her the wrong name.
Chris, don't call her the wrong. And I know you did not do that.
I didn't. I honestly didn't. I apologize sincerely.
I know.
I didn't know. I've never met her in person, and I thought she was the other one.
Yeah.
And she didn't like that at all. I called her that.
Your thought, Carmen, because you heard that. Did that?
She got so mad.
Did that bristle you a little bit?
Yeah, yes.
It set the tone.
Yeah. It's, when I was a younger man, I would, perhaps anger a little quickly. I think I got to be 45 or so, I realized that anger is like feeding yourself poison and so hoping someone else gets sick.
Yeah.
So I don't do that. But it raised a lot of concern. I thought to myself, my first thought was, I bet she wishes she didn't say that.
I almost felt sorry for her. oh my goodness, do you realize what you just said? And I was in a profession, especially as a police chief, I had to be very measured and careful with the things I said.
Yes.
And when she said that, I don't pity her. She made her bed, and she's going to have to lay in it. But I've almost felt sorry for her.
But how can you? It's like trying to suppress the speech of your citizens, saying you don't have a right to do
that.
It's not a commissioner's position. It's not their responsibility to tell someone when they can communicate and when they can't communicate.
We don't have the right.
When they can make a comment.
Because we didn't have do the right. Something.
Wow. It was shocking.
Oh, and yeah, this whole thing, this is not McCosta's project, apparently. It's the governor's.
Yeah, we have apparently. To follow the governor.
Yeah. Well, she won't put anything on related Goshen unless the governor has a, quote, change of mind or
it's
change
of
heart.
You know, I don't think the governor will get to vote in the election coming up for the McCosta County Board of Commissioners.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe some influence, but not a direct vote. Another member, Gerilyn Strong, and I watched the video. This isn't rumor, but I watched the video. I believe it was a video conference. Jump in and correct me.
Yes.
Where she was speaking to the legislature.
Yes.
It was a whatever you call it.
Yes.
I saw it on.
It's the
face.
One where she famously said that we're professional protesters.
Well, here's her quotes. First of all, she reaffirmed on February 16th the board's they reaffirmed their support for the project, and her quotes were that we, the No Gosheners, were, quote, a small but vocal group.
Yeah.
Small but vocal. We were, quote, professional picketers, unquote. And then she said, I cringed again. She said that when they were contemplating this project, this is her quote. She talked to several people, Chris.
Oh, several.
Chris, give me your basic without looking at Google.
I'm going to go in front of the legislatures and say, I've talked to several people in my county that
well,
I'm
this, Chris, this is
of.
The chair of the county commission. You know, we make light of it because we're funny guys. I think we're funny. My wife doesn't think I'm – my daughter doesn't think I'm funny at all. But,
your book face thing is not very funny.
Some people crack up over that. You don't. Your generation, older people think it. Actually, some younger people just about fall off the chair. Did you say book face? Bah! But anyhow, this is the chairperson of our county commission, and she quoted as saying, you know, she did her research because she talked with several people. Now, in my pea brain, several is like from 2 to 7. 2 to 5, somewhere in there. It's less than 10. It's more than 1. Can we all agree on that?
Mm-hmm.
How many people live in the county?
Well,
is it 40,000?
40,000 roughly. And that is actually a pretty small sampling.
It is? What is it?
It's 0.00025%.
That's probably not real good research.
No, that's not a good statistic.
So is that at 1/100th? Or 1/1000th?
No, 1/10. One,
it's 10,000 of a percent.
10,000.
It's not great.
Yeah. No.
What do they call that? A small N.
Yeah.
I believe
yeah.
in research. Yeah. A very small N.
Yeah. Good job. Good job, Gerilyn. Good job. Doing your due diligence. Good job.
Well, and here's what is in contrast to one of my favorite guys and a real leader. I don't know what kind of leadership he's. Has had. I consider him, I think people have, I've coined it LQ instead of IQ. I think people are born with a leadership quotient, just like they are with an intelligence quotient. Can leadership skills be improved? Yes, they can. Can you make a great leader out of someone with a low LQ leadership quotient? I don't think you can. You can improve their leadership, but I think people, and I think Kyle Luce, who's a Barton Township supervisor.
Great. He's
a natural born leader.
Yes.
It's innate. In him, and he spoke, was that to the county commission when he was speaking? You know what I'm talking about, when he's addressing the survey that he did. Anyhow, I think it was county commission.
He spoke at the legislation, he spoke at Green Township, and he might have spoke at the county, I don't know.
I don't know.
Are you talking about a video you saw?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that was Green Township.
That was Green Township, okay. And so he is in a neighboring township to Green yeah. Township. And so
adjacent.
He did a survey, adjacent. He did a survey, 704 taxpaying residents in his small township and 400 households. He sent a survey out. He really got great results back. He was surprised. It exceeded the results he got back on the land use survey. And 85% of the people in his adjacent township disapproved of Goshen. Green Township did their survey recently.
No, not the Green Township. Green Township themselves didn't do it, but
the new board.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't see Jason's. Remember that newspaper he went out?
That was before the board.
Yeah. Yes.
The citizens at the time did that.
Yeah, the 77.2%. Yes. And 77.2% opposed the Goshen project. So we saw someone testify in front of the legislature, and either 96 or 97% of the people in Green Township were for it.
Overwhelmingly for Goshen.
Our chairperson of the County Board of Commissioners said that everyone wants it, because based on serving several people, which is something. Your thoughts, your reactions, Carmen?
Unanimously, that's the word he used.
We are unanimously.
Overwhelmingly.
No, he used unanimously.
My thoughts on that are, I think they're a bit out of touch. I think that the commissioners who, or anyone who says that the majority of the people in this county support this project is, they're not paying attention to reality. They're living in a world of which I'm not familiar.
They are.
And on Geraldine, if I could, for just a second.
Yeah.
The paid protesters and professional picketers, rather, really, I find that offensive, because nobody paid me to carry a sign.
I'm still waiting. Did you get
your dark money check?
I did not.
The oil money?
Shell oil. You know, Shell didn't send me anything. BP didn't send me. Did Amoco send you anything? No, they didn't either.
You know who sent me? Is the excitement and the spirit of my brothers and sisters involved in this. That's what sent me out.
Me too.
That was my payment, just to see these good Americans, we the people, you know, that's what paid me. That's what sent me out.
Yeah, my...
Are you still offended by professional protesters? Before I was, but now it's like, I don't know, should we embrace it? We did kind of professionally do what we did.
Well, I might have to join their union.
Yeah.
That's humor, an attempt at humor.
Yeah, I know.
But no, it's a cause, you know. My way of life is not for sale at any price.
Yep.
And we have a wonderful area to call home here.
We do.
Yes.
We do.
That's why many of us moved up here.
Yep. And just for the record, I don't like some of the things that our opponents are doing. I don't hate any of them.
We love them very much.
And it's a shame. If you scrape away everything
else. They listen to the show.
I hope they do. And I hope it's of some value to them.
Every week.
But if you scrape away all the garbage from both sides, you can't argue the fact that we have let a Chinese-based company come in and divide this community forever.
Yes.
And when I see the hatred and the vitriol in the eyes of some people who now know I'm involved and know who I am, and I realize I don't think... if we prevail and it isn't built, I don't think they will ever even look at me again. And I think shame on all of us for letting this company in here to do this to this great community. It's really a shame.
And they have done it. You know, and Mao Zedong in 1949 developed the 100-year plan, you know, China 2049. Every 5 years they meet and they take their pulse. And they evaluate where they are towards that 100-year plan. They replan, they assign the tasks, and they go out and they get back on track, if they're off track, to get back on the plan. You know, their goal is to become the strongest military and the strongest economy on Earth.
Yes.
Become the global leader, the global power.
Yep.
And what are we doing? We're borrowing money from them.
Yes.
We're giving it back to them.
Yeah.
But we still have to pay them back for that money we borrowed that we're giving them.
But I thought we gave them our money. Oh, you're talking grand scale.
The grand scale.
But in Michigan, we gave them our money. Sure.
You know, the nation borrows the money from China. We have the national debt to China is unbelievable.
It's incredible.
And now we give it back to them, but we still owe it.
Yeah.
And we're inviting, if not our largest enemy, our largest adversary in our country. And they've publicly said that, you know,
They'll take us over and never fire a shot.
Exactly.
That was a quote from one of their officials. Exactly. Never fire a shot.
And, you know, and we're just, we seem to be aiding them. And I'm just...
aiding and abetting.
I'm just so opposed to what it is that's happening. Yeah. And let's look at what they've done to our community, and they're not even here yet.
They're not even here. And somehow, did I let this happen? Did you? I don't know. All I know is they came in and they are the catalyst. They are the dividing factor.
Yes.
That has created, and it's a shame. I've been around some people lately, recently, the other night, and some people who would have always come up and shaken my hand or talked or at least said hello, and they won't even make eye contact with me. The hatred. And I have not attacked, you guys know this, not one of them. Mm-hmm. I haven't been, whole purpose has
yes,
been to
actually,
support.
Yes, actually, you've been quiet.
I have been. My whole purpose you've is to positive. Support patriotic brothers and sisters of mine in this fight. That's where my energy goes, to support, try and educate. And there are people who I'm sure will never talk to me again in this community, and that's a shame.
It is a shame.
We've lost that skill of understanding that we can all have a different opinion.
Yeah.
And we don't have to hate each other.
Absolutely.
And it's not personal. It's become far too personal.
Yes.
You know, even calling people professional picketers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's personal.
Insult. It is.
It's an insult. And there's a lot of that going back and forth.
Especially when you have no proof of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was involved in a lot of this. And all I saw, it's funny. I love what Orman says. He goes, we're just a different kind of redneck.
Yeah.
I just saw a bunch of smart rednecks, patriots, very intelligent people. Yeah, we might
real
be
real Americans.
Real Americans. We might be out. We might have goats and chickens, and we might hunt and fish and put crops in. But we're not stupid, and we're patriots. And that's who I was with. There were no professional picketers.
No.
So, Carmen, we're running short on time. Just in a closing here, what can we expect out of Commissioner Carmen Bean?
Well, obviously, I will attempt to drive some change. I believe that currently we have, I think the meetings currently are scheduled as an example during the day.
Okay.
They have two meetings, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, which does not provide the public the opportunity to participate.
It's not welcoming.
Not at all. I believe that there should be, if you're going to have one during the day, fine. The other one should be in the evening. And I think that's something that really needs to be stressed, and I will push very hard for that. I'm also concerned that the county has built such a big nest egg. A nest egg is a good thing to have, but the residents have either been overtaxed or underserviced.
You've often said it's one or the other.
It's nothing else. There can't be anything else. You know, you're recommended to have about 130%, 3 months operating or so.
Okay.
And we're, our operating is roughly $14, $15 million. Okay. At the beginning, in each of the last three fiscal years at year end, they've been around the $22 million mark. So the county's sitting on $8 million of citizens' money. Now, they either need to provide the services or they need to give the money back.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel.
Yeah.
They need to take the marijuana money and put it towards the roads.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know what? I surveyed two adjacent counties, which are roughly have that same $22 million kitty, if you will, the general balance fund, and one being Isabella County, and they typically spend around $21 million a year. The other being Macomb County, and they're right around $22 million in fund balance, and they spend around $20 million a year. So, and we're around $22 million, and we spent around $14 or $15.
Interesting.
It's there's a lot of money sitting somewhere that should be used to provide services.
Yeah.
Or, quite simply, we should reduce the tax rate for a couple of years. Yeah.
And there's both sides of it. Yes, you do want to build a nest egg. You do want to have a cushion. Mm-hmm. That's good, sound business.
Yes.
But where do you draw the line there?
Where do you draw the line?
As you said, if we're carrying that, then let's take say, okay, so this has been, inside of this box has been our road program every year. Mm-hmm. Let's make that box a little bigger. Let's start with that for a year or two and then reevaluate where we're at. But, we're taxing the citizens. Well, where's their return?
Yes. And then additionally, I think that we really need to take a look at the committee members. Each of the commissioners serve on various committees. And as you look around, you have the same people running everything in the county.
Yes.
And I'm not so sure that's not a good idea.
When they leave the commission, when they voted out of the commission, somehow they end up on the planning commission?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Yeah.
Well, they're appointed by the commissioners. Yeah. That's how it works. And And I just think we need to take a look at it. I think we need some fresh blood. I would love to see some younger folks participate.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, all of us old guys are only going to live so long.
Yep.
And we need some continuity in government.
There's no doubt. Yeah.
But just not too much.
Yep. Well, folks, get involved. Make sure you vote. Pay attention this year, because no one does. Pay attention this year to the county commission races. Do your research. Talk to people. Listen. Take a look at the people who are finally stepping forward, not to get rich, but stepping forward for their community. And really, I've been so guilty of sometimes I just punch a ballot because there's a name there. They did it last year. I've done it before. Well, they're the incumbent. Oh, my goodness. It's better not to punch that box than to punch a box for someone that you don't have any idea what they have or haven't done. So, you know, get involved.
There's also folks that are running as a Republican that aren't actually a Republican because they know that they will lose if they...
because it's primarily a Republican.
Right, right. Yeah. So that needs to be exposed.
It really does. I mean, if you're that desperate to get in to the position that you have to do that, it just seems dirty.
Yeah, yes.
If I could suggest anything to anyone, it would be do the research.
Yes,
on everyone. Don't be afraid,
on everyone. Look at how they voted.
Yeah.
Are they in line with what you believe or aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you which way to vote.
Yeah.
But be educated. Yep. Be knowledgeable about what's at risk here.
Yep. Well, Carmen, you know you have my 100% support. Are we friends? Yes, but far more importantly, I love this county and I love this community, and we need people like you representing us. So
I thank you for that very much.
Yep.
And that I've means appreciated a lot to me coming from you.
I've appreciated all the mentoring you've given me as a deputy here. I've learned so much. It's like, there's always so much to learn. But
we have a lot of work to do, as we all know in the township. It's a little
never ending,
disjointed.
Yeah, never ending.
We'll get through it.
Lots of good things have already been done. So, Carmen, thanks for being here. And Chris, I think it's about time that we get to some community stuff. You're listening to WBZX Big Rapids on B1039. And Chris, would you like me to do the community buzz?
Sure.
Can you give me some little sound?
What do you want?
I don't know, like a ding or something so I know when to start. That's outstanding. If you're interested in joining Rotary Club of Big Rapids, you can find them on Facebook or Bookface in my world at Rotary Club of Big Rapids, or stop by the lower level of Artworks building on Tuesdays at noon. And remember, the first two lunches are on them. Mesiola Curry Comfort Home is looking for donations for their home. Check out their website, mesiolacurrycomforthome.com, for questions. Call 231-287-2208. The Animal Rescue Coalition is a nonprofit, no-kill shelter. They always need donations of food and toys. They are Mecosta County's only shelter. They also rehabilitate abused and neglected pets. So remember to adopt, don't shop. And any pet is a lifetime commitment, so take it seriously. Each animal they have all need a forever home. We would like to thank our sponsors. Chris, I see maybe one or two of these. We'll start with a pet boutique, Purely Clean Services, the Barrington Firearm Training Center, 911 Restoration, Gilbert's Carpet Plus Color
Tile. Why don't
you
go slower? Why don't you restart and go a little bit slower?
Slower? Should I go backward?
No, just go slower. Give them the time that they sponsored the show, so we should give them a little bit more time.
All right, I'm going to hit the button.
Actually, I have a thing for that, I think.
You're so critical there, aren't you?
Yeah, he's always doing that to me. Goodness. How about the pet boutique, our Purely Clean Services? Casey and his friends at the Barrington Firearms Training Center, 911 Restoration, Gilbert's Carpet Plus Color Tile, Benton Baker of Big Rapids, Sue Bean at Big Rapids Realty. I know Sue. Carmen, I'll have to introduce
you. I know her.
You do?
Yeah.
She's a great lady.
She robbed the cradle when she married me.
She did, didn't she? Yep. She ought to be ashamed of herself. Sue, what were you
thinking? Oh, I get it now.
Yeah. Along with other supportive people and businesses from the community, we thank each and every one of you for getting behind our show. Now, folks, if you're enjoying these, and we're getting some pretty good feedback that they like this show, step up and maybe if you're, especially if a business person, sponsor the show, the Big Rapids Buzz. Call your best friend Jen here at B1039 at 231-796-1103, and she will get you started.
Would you please support us?
Listen again next Monday at 8:30 a.m. for the Big Rapids Buzz with me, Bruce Borkovich, and
Chris Long. Thank you all the listeners that we have. Thank you all. And I want to thank our new favorite listener, Vern.
Vern. All right. I like it. I don't know what it is, but I like it. We'll see you next time on the Big Rapids Buzz.
See ya.